AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
I face the same old problems every day. Makes me wanna holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for every radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for every radio. Every time I listen, Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I've got strategies. I got strategies for living. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
Oh, you know we need strategies, don't we?
Oh,
strategies for living. You ready? You ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
I'm ready.
Yeah, we've got an important dose today.
Yes,
we really do. Hey, folks, welcome. Welcome into 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. Welcome into Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC Lauren Leon McMillan. And, you know, we've got a very serious subject to discuss today, Lauren.
Yeah.
Because cervical cancer kills almost 350,000 women each year. And more horrifying than that is that millions have died of a disease. And let me sit down now. You need to sit down.
All right.
It's nearly 100% preventable.
Wow. Yep.
It's no secret that healthcare is, of course, full of inequities with a severe lack of accessible screening programs. But women's health care is also impeded by, well, cultural and gender and political barriers. And those issues have combined to create devastating consequences. Our life strategist today is a leading expert in cervical cancer prevention. We're going to talk today to Dr. Linda Eckert. And she takes her years of experience and weaves them together. And we are going to benefit. We are the beneficiaries of what Dr. Eckert is going to share. She is the author of a new book. We're talking about it today. It's called Enough, Because We Can Stop Cervical Cancer. And
better time to do it. I mean, this is
Cervical Cancer Awareness Month.
Right.
Yeah, it takes two of us to say
it does.
Well, but we're going to let Dr. Linda Eckert do all of the heavy lifting.
Absolutely.
Today.
She's got the great strategies and the tools.
But I want everyone that's listening today, pay close attention, because, you know, when you've got something that is almost 100% preventable, and we're not doing it, well, we got to figure out what's going on.
Right.
And so we're doing that today here on Strategies. Thank you for being with us, and we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center and, of course, Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage. Back in a moment to meet our life strategist, the author of Enough, here on Strategies.
Tune in daily, find the light, healthy mind and spirits bright, strategies for living strong. Feel the vibe, it won't go wrong.
trap. Mind and body, spirits free. Living life in harmony.
And welcome in. Welcome into 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Welcome into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Let's welcome into the program our life strategist. She is Dr. Linda Eckert. She is a professor of obstetrics and gynecology with an infectious disease fellowship at the University of Washington. Also an internationally recognized expert on immunizations and cervical cancer prevention. For over 30 years, Dr. Eckert has worked at Seattle's Harborview Hospital, treating people from all around the world and frequently in the spotlight for her expertise in HPV vaccinations and cervical cancer screening. She is passionate in her drive to eliminate this deadly disease. Dr. Linda Eckert, welcome.
Welcome
into Strategies for Living.
Well, it's such an honor to be with you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. This month being Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, we had to do this. There was just no choice.
I really appreciate that.
So I guess my first question is how could this be as advanced as we are in some things? Why are we lagging behind in the prevention of cervical cancer? Because if my intro material is right, it's almost 100% preventable. So I guess that's the opening question for me, Dr. Linda. What is going on?
Yeah, gosh, I appreciate that question. And of course, if it were super simple answer, we'd have fixed it by now.
Right.
But I feel like, you know, cervical cancer is so interesting because we don't need more basic science research, and we don't need necessarily the cancer moonshot for this because we already know what causes it and we already know how to prevent it. But what's really challenging, like you just stated, is to be able to do those things. What's keeping us from doing those things? And let me start just a little bit with what causes cervical cancer, because I think that leads to one of the most important answers to your question. And that is, you know, cervical cancer is caused by human papillomavirus, which is a very common virus. There's many, many types of human papillomavirus, actually over 150 types. But 40 of those different types can infect the genital tract. And of those 40 that infect the genital tract, there are 12 that are called high risk or cancer causing types of HPV.
Right.
And if you acquire one of these cancer causing types of HPV and it hangs around in your cervix for a while, it can eventually lead to precancer, which, if that's not found and treated, it can eventually lead to cancer. But it is a virus that is caused with sexual transmission. And because of that, it carries a lot of stigma.
Uh-huh.
And I think that stigma is typically unequally borne by females more than males, even though it is transmitted through both people. And I think that the stigma of cervical cancer has been one of the things in our culture, certainly, but clearly also around the world, that has kept people from really talking it and addressing it. Because, you know, people don't go around talking about their cervix or their vagina,
right,
or their uterus very commonly.
Right. How did you come, this book, and this is a book whose time is now, and it's an important book. So again, folks, the book is called Enough. You can find it wherever you buy books. We'll talk about that more. But what was it toward your, you've been doing this a while, when did you stop and say, okay, enough, I got to write a book and it's going to be called Enough?
You know, I think life surprises us sometimes. And this certainly was a surprise for me in that I have been taking care of individuals with cervixes from around the world for decades. And I had my first really powerful experience when I was 25, just brand new, you know, still a medical student in Liberia, my first time overseas, my first passport. And I saw this woman who came in with her son with advanced cervical cancer, and she was so regal and stately in her appearance, but she knew she was dying, and she hadn't want her son to bring her in, as she said, to waste her family's money. Mm. And as I saw her with my preceptor at that time, you know, I just remember the anguish of like, what can we do to help her? And he was, you know, he was like, nothing. We don't even, they didn't even have morphine at that time. It was 1987 in Liberia. And there was really nothing. There was no radiation. There was no chemotherapy. There's no trained surgeons. And I had just left UC San Diego, where I was in medical school, and I was so struck immediately by the dichotomy and the equity challenges. And so I carried her with me as I left Liberia, and all throughout my training and all throughout my years, I kept seeing these cases of, you know, advanced cervical cancer, which I knew was preventable, that were causing immense suffering, not just to the woman who experienced the cancer, but her family, her communities, et cetera, because we all know what women do for their communities. Yes. And how important they are. And finally, in 2018, I was sitting at the World Health Organization, and a very exciting thing was happening. The World Health Organization was launching the Cervical Cancer Elimination Effort, which is the first time ever that the World Health Organization has chosen to try to eliminate a cancer. You know, they've eliminated smallpox, they're very close to polio, et cetera, but never a cancer and never a disease that struck a single gender. And so it was kind of a really bold move. And they had called together a bunch of people, were sitting around, were so excited to talk about this. But then I look around at this table and I think, you know, where are the women? Where are the voices of the women who've been impacted by their disease, this disease? Mm. We need these voices, because then people can understand that this is a relatable cancer. It's not just an over there cancer or somebody else's problem. It's an everybody's problem, and we can do something about it. And so actually that night I went to in my hotel in Geneva and I wrote in my journal, like, enough. I've seen enough, and we have enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to write a book, which was kind of a crazy thought for me. So that was in 2018. So I set off on this path and ended up 5 years later having this book, and I decided to call it Enough, because that was my inspiration. It's like, I have just had it. I've seen it enough, but truthfully then we have enough. Right. So it's a double-edged word use here.
And we should say, I mean, you've written lots of academic articles. You've written textbook chapters. But let's be real clear that this book is for all of us. This is for the general public, and it's intended for all of us.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. And I really hope so, because I tried very hard to use language that didn't require any particular medical training or degrees. And I think the power of the book is, first of all, the information it contains, but also this incredible stories of women who generously shared their stories with me. I have stories of women from over six continents who are so passionate about wanting others to not share their same suffering that they told me, like a perfect stranger in most cases, their intimate details of their life, and allowed me to put it in a book. Most of them allowed their real name to be used because they were just so passionate that they wanted to eliminate the suffering.
Yes, yes. All right, now let's begin with the elephant. Let's start with the elephant in the room, because I mean, we know that vaccines have been in the news a lot, and we know that the HPV vaccine bolsters the immune system. What do you, as a medical professional, what do you want to say to all of us about the HPV vaccine? I mean, it is the elephant in the room.
Yeah, and I appreciate your calling that out. You know, the HPV vaccine is a superpower vaccine. We get excited if the flu vaccine can prevent, you know, 50 to 60% of flu. But the HPV vaccine, when given prior to being exposed to the HPV types it prevents against, is nearly 100% effective. And it prevents HPV infections with seven different types of HPV. And together, those seven different types cause 90% of cervical cancer.
Wow.
So with this vaccine, you can prevent 90% of cervical cancer. And in the countries that really got on board and started using this when it first came out, which was 2006, we're seeing, like in Scotland, they have seen zero cases of cervical cancer in the individuals who started receiving the vaccine as they follow them forward.
Wow.
Australia is on the verge of eliminating cervical cancer, they think by 2040, because of this vaccine and its power. Sweden has wonderful data about their cervical cancer rates falling. And just recently, in December, actually, in the United States, we actually saw data that in individuals under 25, which is a rare age to get cervical cancer, that's a little bit young. But in our country, for individuals under 25 who've had the vaccine, again, the cervical cancer rates are really falling. And so there is real world experience from all over the place that this vaccine works.
That's good news. That's very, very good news that you're delivering to us today, Dr. Linda Eckert. And folks, we've got lots more to learn from our life strategist today and the author of Enough, because we can stop. We can stop cervical cancer. She is Dr. Linda Eckert, and she's with us today here as our life strategist here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back. Come back with us. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. Mm-hmm. You get discounts on movies, you get concession upgrades, you get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center, .org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with Learning RX Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, Learning RX Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call Learning RX Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does Learning RX Shreveport.
Welcome back in to your daily dose of Radio Rehab here on 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. We are with a wonderful life strategist today, Dr. Linda Eckert. And it is important that she is here. She's the author of Enough. And we have had enough, haven't we? We can prevent cervical cancer. The month of January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and this disease is nearly 100% preventable. And but we're not there yet. Where you were at the end of last segment, you seemed to be headed, Dr. Linda, that we were doing better that we were improving. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, you did. And it's encouraging. You know, the HPV vaccine in this country was initially approved in 2006, but it really got off to a slow start of use. And it's
why did it get off to such a slow start? Was it that the sexual stuff that it's all tied up with?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest reasons was that it initially, especially people were really talking about it as preventing a sexually transmitted disease, and which it does. It prevents human papillomavirus. But the other thing is it prevents cancer. And I think that, you know, the way that people were talking about it, the cancer part might have gotten lost a little bit. Mm. And, parents really want to do the right thing. They are they care about their children's health. They care about their behavior. And I feel like one of the initial confusions that happened with this vaccine is instead of being viewed as a cancer vaccine, it was viewed as a behavior vaccine. Mm. And it was viewed, there was a strong fear that actually isn't unique to the United States. It's been in almost every culture where it's been introduced that if I gave this vaccine to my daughter to prevent acquisition of this virus, then she might change her sexual behavior. And so people were very fearful, I think, of that and protective and right. thought, maybe they don't need this. But I think that the other message that got lost with that is, first of all, the vaccine works better. We have a better immune response in our bodies if we get it between 9 and 14. Mm-hmm. We need fewer doses of the vaccine. And still in this country, under 14, you get 2 doses, and 14 to 45, which is the other age range, or 15 to 45, you get 3 doses. Mm. So you can use fewer doses and you get a better immune response that lasts a really long time when you give it at a younger age. So that's one reason to give it to 9 to 14 year olds. And another reason is it works much better to prevent disease. It doesn't really treat the infection per se once you get the HPV. And so I think, you know, parents maybe don't want to have conversations about when is their child going to start having sex. They can be very uncomfortable. I certainly had a lot of parents uncomfortable in my office when I would talk to them about it. And I understand that. But I think also as a parent, you know, we have an opportunity to give a vaccine that can prevent not just cervical, but actually 6 types of cancer that are caused by HPV.
Right.
So that was one of the challenges. I think the messaging challenge was difficult. And there was also some pushback. The Focus on the Family came out against it. And they have since reversed their statement. But in 2007, right. they came out against it.
Right.
So that was a very powerful influence.
Right. And let's put on the, Lauren, put on your therapist hat for a second. I'll put on my life coaching hat.
Yeah.
And go with this for a moment, I guess, because I don't, you know, I get what you're saying, Dr. Linda, and I understand the, okay, well, it was when the vaccine was introduced, it was introduced behavior, but we're talking about the prevention of something that can take effect.
Right.
And can affect women in their teens, their 20s, their 30s.
Yeah, and beyond.
And beyond. And so
right.
we're being very short-sighted, I think, you know, to think I'm a daddy of 2 girls. And, so even though I hear it, I understand it.
Yeah.
But, I have from those 2 girls, I have 7 of my 10 grandchildren. So obviously,
it's important.
It's important, yeah. And eventually,
right.
as human beings, we are sexual beings. We're going to
right.
engage
right.
sexually, you know.
And right.
Just because,
right.
just because we give a vaccine to prevent early doesn't mean the behavior we're protecting.
No, you're preventing it.
We're preventing and protecting for yeah. years to right. come, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I so appreciate that. And it's interesting, actually, there's been studies done, not just in the U.S., but in Brazil, in Uganda, in Europe, that have really, Australia looked at individuals who get the HPV vaccine to say, is there any change in the age they start having sex or the number of partners? And the answer resoundingly in all of these cultures is no.
Right.
That this is a it's a fear that's not based on fact. And so I really appreciate what you're saying about, you know, let's look at the long run here. And there's a story in my book of a woman named Morgan who lived in Iowa, and she was 14 when the vaccine first came out, and her mother gave her the option of whether she wanted it or not. And she just felt like she didn't have enough information
right.
about what the vaccine could do for her. And so she chose not to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Plus, she also felt like all of us, oh, this won't happen to me.
Right.
And then when she was 24, actually, which is pretty young, she was diagnosed with cervical cancer. And so, and she was diagnosed with cervical cancer from HPV 16, which is prevented by this vaccine. Mm. And so she's now one of the most passionate advocates you could ever meet, you know, about let's get this vaccine into people, because she lost her fertility. She has side effects from the treatment. You know, her life is not going to be physically the same because of the treatment that she had for cervical cancer. And now she's an ambassador and out there telling the whole world about it. But, you know, she was 14 and just thought, hey, this won't happen to me. And guess what? It did.
Yeah. Yeah. I was young. I was in the age when it came out. I think I was 12. And my mom, I remember my mom having the conversation with the pediatrician, mm-hmm. and it actually took two conversations for her to agree and say, okay, that, you know, that does sound good. And I'm thankful that I did. I got it in the early age range, so I only needed two.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing I just want to add to parents or people out there listening is, of course, we're in an age of vast misinformation about mm-hmm. vaccines. And I totally acknowledge that. And I can understand how it can be so confusing for people. But I would say that we have such robust safety data for this vaccine. We've given over 270 million doses globally. It's been tracked by all kinds of safety agencies, again, because of this fear that people have about this vaccine. And it's really one of the safest vaccines we have, with very minimal side effects. And so I try to be as reassuring as I can be to say, we've looked at the data, we've looked hard, and also, you know, potentially share people's stories to just help people understand this is a real thing and we can really do an intervention to help prevent some really awful things from happening to the people we love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What do you want people to know about screening, Dr. Linda?
Yeah. Well, first of all, that it's important. You know, I think screening for cervical cancer typically has involved going to the office, having a speculum exam, which is an instrument that is placed in the vagina that holds the vagina open so you can see the cervix and you can collect some cells from the cervix. And then you send this off and it gets analyzed, and that typically has been a pap smear, which has been very successful at lowering cervical cancer in our country. Now we're using newer tests that test for HPV DNA as part of our screening. But these screening tests, you know, anyone who's had them knows, you know, you don't sign up for these easily. it's a pretty uncomfortable, invasive test. Let's just be honest about that. And no, you know, I'm a gynecologist. I've done, I don't even know, 100,000 of these. And I think I'm pretty good at it, but I don't really like to go and get mine either. So I get that. So the first thing to say is that screening works and it's really important. Mm-hmm. The second thing to say is that the results, if you get an abnormal result, following up on that, like, is also really important, because that's actually, you can screen everybody, but if you don't get to follow up on abnormal screens and do the appropriate treatment and then follow that up, you know, you can't really prevent cancer. So it's not just the test, it's also the test and the follow-up. Mm-hmm. And that gets to your first question about why aren't we doing better? And it's because these takes infrastructure to get people their results. They sometimes have to come back for multiple visits. There's lessening and lessening access for low cost mm-hmm. screening, because so many low cost screening clinics, such as Planned Parenthood's, have been shut down to try to limit access to abortion. And so we actually have less access to low-cost screening than we used to.
You know, we're in a conundrum, aren't we?
We are.
We've gotten ourselves painted into a corner.
What do you think needs to change to make that more accessible, you know, both screening and treatment?
Well, I think certainly awareness is always a good step. And secondly, we are, you know, on the verge of developing tests that don't need a speculum, swabs of HPV DNA that people can collect themselves. In our country, the FDA has approved that only to be used in clinic sites themselves. But globally, it's being used, like people can do the tests in their home and mail them in. That's how it's done in Canada and so forth. And so as we get more experience with this country and the FDA feels more comfortable with the tests, I think we'll be moving to where it's easier to do that initial screen and you may not have to go to your doctor, take time off work, find childcare, all those things that are so hard. And, you know, and also not have an invasive of an exam. And
That may be a game changer.
Yeah.
Dr. Linda Eckert is our life strategist today. Hold that thought, Linda. I've got to get a break here.
We've got to pay the bills.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Hold that thought. We're coming back, and we'll start right there. Here on Strategies for Living with the author of Enough, Dr. Linda Eckert today. We'll be right back.
From the bayou to your table, we're keeping it alive. With flavors from the family passed down to survive. The Godfather's here with a twist in the tail. Alligator Italian sausage, and it sure won't fail. It's the boss of the bayou, a taste you can't refuse. Italian tradition, Cajun infused. Godfather sausage, bold and true.
Get the Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage only at Fertitta's Delicatessen, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. Pick up a Muffy while you're there. The Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage. It's a taste you can't refuse. Sold only at Fertitta's, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport.
Dealing with stress? Pain? Feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's, thebalancedlife.us.
And welcome back in to 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. We are with the author of Enough today. She is Dr. Linda Eckert. You can buy Enough wherever you find books. And it's important that you do because it's the month of January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. And we are talking about preventing that today, and we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. Eckert, I think when we left off, we were kind of talking about access, access to prevention and treatment. What have you seen over the years in terms of limitations for access and treatment, and how can women who don't have access, what alternatives or community resources might help them to stay proactive?
Well, thank you for that question. I think that gets to really one of the heart of the reasons why it's so can be hard to prevent this preventable cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the challenges is just making an appointment sometimes for screening because people have trouble leaving work or finding childcare. And I feel like one of the things that we can do for in our communities, for instance, is offer to drive people if people don't have public transportation or don't have their own transportation to get there. And I have seen that happen in certain areas, for instance, in Alabama, where they had a shortage of clinics where people could get the screening and the follow-up for abnormal smears that they needed. And there was, you know, a network of volunteers who were able to help get people to their appointments. And the other thing is that the CDC does have a program for low-cost screening, both for cervical cancer and for breast cancer. And so I think contacting the local your local health department about where those resources might be could also be a great way to learn more about how to get low-cost screening if finances were a barrier.
I know here at LSU Ochsner we have that for breast cancer, so I bet we have that for cervical cancer there as well.
Too. Yeah, I think you probably do because it's the same funding mechanism from CDC that funds both of those.
Okay.
Yeah. And similarly, there's funding for the HPV vaccine, especially for children under 18 in our country. It's called Vaccines for Children. And, you know, so I think accessing your health department or through your local provider through community health centers. Those are all ways to try to learn about options if the financial barriers are significant, which they can be.
Yeah.
We've got about 5 minutes left, and I know that there's a ton of information in the book. So, you know, I want to know from you, Dr. Linda, what I want to cover as much as we possibly can in that 5 minutes. What are we leaving out? What do we really need to jump on and talk about in this last 5 minutes?
I think the stigma that is associated with disease and how just talking about how common HPV is, that 80% of adults will have an infection at some point in their lives. But the good news is that it goes away most of the time, and it's only if it persists that it can cause, precancer of the cervix. And so I think people have this misunderstanding that only certain types of people can get abnormal pap smears or can get HPV and or certain behaviors. And so that's just not true. And I do think that's one of the most important things that we can recognize. And the second thing is, you know, we haven't talked about this a lot because it's cervical cancer prevention, and I'm passionate about that. But this vaccine prevents six types of cancer, including 80% of throat cancer in men is caused by HPV-16. And that's the reason we vaccinate boys, too. And so it is not just a vaccine for girls. It's also a vaccine for boys and men. And I think that's a really important message that I'd like to get across as well.
In fact, one of the chapters in your book is Wanted. It's titled Wanted Men to Champion the Movement, right?
Exactly. I think we're not going to eliminate cervical cancer without men. And I want men to know that, you know, they need to ask their significant others, have you had your screen? Have you had your vaccine? What can I do to help you take time out of your busy schedule? Because we all know how busy people are when they're working and they are taking care of the children, they're taking care of their parents, et cetera. But what can we do as a society and as the male members of the society too, to really help women realize you are valuable, you are important, and we want to keep your cervixes healthy.
Mm-hmm. So again, the book is called Enough. Here's the deal. If everybody that picked up the book, and I hope a lot of people that are listening to us now will, but if everybody picked up this book and decided that in addition to learning and sharing more about cervical cancer, they would work toward ending it and you would see the needle shift, right, toward fewer diagnoses, fewer deaths. That's the bottom line.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. It's an amazing gift to think that we can have a cancer that we can prevent.
It's, you know, and in the larger, you know, we're all so terribly frightened of the C word. And, you know, and as a health, as a physician, it's important to know that we are making some progress, isn't it? It's important for all of us to understand that.
I cannot agree more. I think that's a really important message, and I do want people to feel empowered and feel encouraged and feel like their choices matter and that they can make decisions to protect themselves and to protect their family members. And this really is, in a sense, it's a good news cancer because we have so much of it figured out.
Are we talking about this in the schools too? I mean, we want to talk to children. Is this, you know, is this being talked about in schools?
Well, I feel like I so appreciate you asking that. I think that is a big move for advocacy that can happen. And it depends on your schools and your school boards and their decisions. But, you know, if you had parents wanting teachers and children to get educated about it, and that was presented to the school board, I talk about this in a book. In the book, that's one way you can really make a difference, actually.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that you're doing is, Dr. Linda Eckert, with the book and with your passion, your willingness to come and spend some time on programs like this, you are you're calling all of us. And so I hope that every single person that can obtains a copy of Enough, Dr. Linda Eckert, and maybe if you can afford to get two and pass one along.
There's enough to go around.
There you go.
Yeah. Your library carry it.
Absolutely. Yes. Please go to your library and ask your library if they have a copy. If they don't, ask them to get a copy. It's important that we get enough of these. all over. Yes. Dr. Linda Eckert, our life strategist today. The book is Enough. Get it at your favorite bookseller. We'll be back to wrap up our conversation with a great life strategist today here on Strategies for Living. Stay with us. You're going to see the difference. When you go to Azalea Cleaners, you'll hear about it too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road. Plus, the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283. And Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com.
Hi. This is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid-applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
And welcome back in. Welcome back in. And thank you for being with us here on Strategies for Living. You're why we do this. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. And thank you to our great life strategist today. She is the author of Enough. She is Dr. Linda Eckert. And can't thank you enough, Linda, for your advocacy, for the you're taking your time to write the book, to come and talk about the book. Such important work that you're doing. What do you want to leave us with today? You got about a minute or so. What would you like to leave in the ears of every single person listening to us today?
Well, I think one of the powers of this book and in general is that data is really important and it's great and we need accurate information. But the other thing that I think I want to acknowledge about this book is that the power of the stories of the women who have had cervical cancer and share their information. And you may not remember all of the numbers of the HPV types, but you will remember the stories of these women because I remember them and they carry me through my work and they carry me through my passion. And so I guess that I would just encourage you to get to know the women in the book as well as the information. And I think I'm just hoping that this book can be yet another tool to make a difference.
I know that it is making a difference, and folks, go get a copy of Enough. Wherever you buy books, Dr. Linda Eckert is its author. Linda, thank you for being a great life strategist today here on Strategies for
Living. I so appreciate it. Thank you so much for offering this information to your listeners.
Absolutely. Folks, thank you. We appreciate you being with us, and we appreciate our wonderful sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center, and Azalea Cleaners, and Pintail Roofing, and Learning RX, and the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and a pretty good Muffy, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call to make, who would you call, and what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Dr. Linda Eckert and for Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.